Greetings this morning in the blessed name of Jesus. It was good to be here. I enjoyed the worship service and the preaching, the sharing of the word, and I'm encouraged today. I'm blessed, excited about the work of the Lord. This morning, I intend to speak from St. John chapter 8. It will be somewhat of an expository message from St. John chapter 8. This is a chapter that has some very exciting verses in it. And the context of it, I was very touched as I see Jesus here trying to teach the people something. He was trying to teach these people. And it seemed like the more he tried, the more he failed. I don't know. And I came to the conclusion, it really humbled me to think that if Jesus couldn't get his point across, what can I do? And I just concluded that unless the Spirit of God reveals the Word of God to our hearts, there's nothing that I can say or anyone else can say that's going to be of any influence or any positive benefit today. So let's just bow our heads again and pray and ask that the Spirit of God would be speaking to us this morning. Father in heaven, we again lift this word to you today, Lord. Lord, we don't know. We realize that there's nothing that we can say or do. But we know that your Spirit and your presence in our lives in impressing the Word of God on the hearts of the people today can make a difference. So we just give it to you today, Lord. We're trusting you, Father. Open our eyes that we might see. Change us. Make us where you want us to be, O God, in Jesus' name. So we see that Jesus, it says, he went unto the Mount of Olives early in the morning. And again, in sending, he went into the temple and the people came and he sat down and he started to teach them. So he was teaching people, I don't know, probably a mixed multitude of people. There were probably some believers there, I don't know. But there were a lot of scribes and Pharisees that were out to argue with him and put him down and that never did accept what he was teaching, and I'm not sure. But he was trying to get a point across to them. But here came the scribes and Pharisees, and they brought a woman to him that was taken in adultery. And they thought, now they're going to see what happens. What's Jesus going to do with the law? Because the law, they knew what the law said. The law said, take her out and stone her. That's what the law said. What's Jesus going to do? He was not teaching things that they were used to supporting and experiencing. He says, now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. He said, what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Jesus stooped down with his finger. He wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And we're not sure what Jesus wrote on the ground, but it seemed like there was something that he, I don't know if it had to do with what he wrote on the ground that brought conviction upon them. I don't know. But it says, but they continued asking him. He lifted up himself and he said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Now this hit the nail right on the head. He knew He knew their hearts. He knew their sin. He knew that they were just as guilty as what she was. And he says again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. They which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. He said to her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man accused thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. This, I believe, was the message of Jesus to all of us today, I believe. He was not come to bring condemnation. He did not come to bring judgment and condemnation to the world, but He came to bring life and to preach forgiveness of sins and to preach peace to man, to bring peace to man. Now, He didn't tell her to go and keep on sinning like He always did. No, He said, go and sin no more. So He was expecting that He was not condoning her sin. He was not blessing her in her sin, but He was encouraging her to go and walk a life that was upright and godly and according to the Word of God. He was not being critical and condemning, but He was motivating her on in the right direction. And I believe this is the spirit that God's people should have in our working with people today. You know, we meet up with situations where people are not right with God. People that are living wrong and they are living in sin. And God didn't call us necessarily to go out condemning and criticizing people, but I believe we ought to have the heart of Jesus in giving guidance and direction and trying to lead people in the right direction, pointing them to Jesus and pointing them to life, pointing them to forgiveness of sins and to peace with God, not necessarily to be putting them down and to put people down and to criticize and condemn, but to minister life to the lost, that we would be those that would have words of life, that we would have words of hope, that we have a message of Jesus Christ. Jesus was a message of hope, a message of life, a message of forgiveness of sins, a message of everlasting life. And this is what we have to offer men today, just like Jesus had here to this woman that was caught in sin. He offered to her life. He offered to her righteousness. He offered to her peace, I believe, as she would go forth by faith and walk and sin no more. Then we have a verse in verse 12 that has been a tremendous blessing to me as I was meditating on this chapter. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I found that John spoke much about light. I looked through John. I looked for these references in my Bible and my center reference and all the references to light were all right here in the book of St. John. And there was quite a few of them. John had a way of presenting Jesus as being the light of the world. And I was thinking a lot about light. You know, we heard about the blood this morning. The blood. Life is in the blood. But I was thinking about light. What would we have if we would not have light? If there would be no light, would there be anything? What was the first thing that was spoken into existence in the creation?
That there be light.
That there be light. Light was the first thing that was spoken into existence. on the first day when God said, "Let there be light." I don't believe life could exist without light. You know how it is if you have plant a seed in a dark room, and maybe there's just a little bit of light there, and that seed would start to sprout because of that little bit of light, and that plant would go right toward that light. Plant life has to have light, has to have sunlight. We cannot grow anything without sunlight. And if we didn't have light, I don't think we would exist long in total darkness. I don't think we could exist long in total darkness. I believe life is very much dependent on light, especially the sunlight. The sunlight is our existence. It is where our life is in the light. Life comes from the light, I believe. Here it says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus is the light of the world. And if He is the light that shines into a dark world and lightens our hearts, He is the light that brings life. It says, "I am the light of life." The light of life. There would be no life without the light. But Jesus is the light of life. He is that hope that we have. He is that life that gives the life that is given to us through Jesus. And I wrote down a lot of these references. I'm going to read that are concerning the light. Quite a few of them here. And they're all in St. John. I'm just going to read over these verses. I was really blessed in meditating about light. And I could go in, I'm sure, to a big scientific definition like Gabriel did about light. And I'm not necessarily going to do that. But I know there is a scientific explanation about light. But I'm going to go to all the scriptures, the different scriptures that in St. John, that John wrote about. Now, as I look through the Gospels, the other Gospel writers did not write about light like John did. And I know that it seemed like each of them had their different emphasis, the different things that they applied to the life of Christ. But light is the one thing that John wrote about a lot. So then spake Jesus unto them, saying, in John chapter 8, verse 12, that's the one I read, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." But John chapter 1, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world." This is the light of life. In John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. "For men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Here we see the light being that of exposing who we are. When the light shines into our hearts, when Jesus shines into our hearts, He sees our sinful self and exposes those things that are within us, and that we can cleanse ourselves and deal with those things in our life when we allow the light of the gospel to shine into our heart. But those that love unrighteousness are going to love darkness. They love darkness rather than light because they don't want their deeds to be exposed. Because they love their sin. But Jesus is that light, and He wants to let that light shine into our hearts so that we can be, that we can see ourselves as He sees us. John chapter 12, verse 35 and 36, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while is yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whereth he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. For I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not walk in darkness. It's a beautiful thing to walk in light. When you walk in light, you can see where you're going. You can know where you are. You can, we have a way of knowing what our relationship is with God, and we have our life out in the open where we're not hiding things. When we have that kind of a walk with God, we have peace with God, and we can be free before God. But whenever we walk in darkness, we don't know where we're going, and we're falling into the ditch, and we fall into all kinds of problems. But when we walk in darkness, we know not where we are going. But he that walketh in the light, then we are the children of God. I am come to light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not walk in darkness. In verse 6, I declare that sin shall no longer be master over... No, I'm sorry, that's another... I thought there was another verse. No, I guess that was it in John. So, I was blessed in meditating about the Jesus being the light of the world. And I believe that that same light, as it radiates into our heart... Did you see the moon last night? How many of you saw the moon last night? Beautiful, awesome. It was, the moon was a beautiful light, lighting up our night last night. But the light was just, the moon was just the radiance of the real light, which is the sun. It was the sun shining off the moon onto the earth. And I believe that's the kind of a light that we ought to be. As the Son of God shines on our lives, that we radiate our light off onto the world around us. That others can see Jesus. That others can see the true light. That there is a true light. Because we are just a radiation of that light. Just like the moon was last night. That should be the testimony of every one of us. That we are the light that lights the world. The light of Jesus radiating off of our life and reaching out and lighting the lives of many others. So I believe it's in Matthew, it says that we should let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works. How is it? We don't hide it under a bushel, but we let our light shine. I believe this is the calling for us as Christians, that we might let our light radiate into the world around us, that men would know that we are different, that they would see that radiance coming forth from our life, that they would see that we have been with Jesus, that we have the glory of God radiating off of our lives, that the testimony of Jesus going forth, that this is the calling that we are called to radiate the love of Jesus and the testimony of Jesus into the world. Okay, we want to go on here now. It says, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Here we see they were trying to find fault with him. It didn't matter what he shared, they would not accept what he was trying to say. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record on myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go." Then he said, "You judge after the flesh, and I judge no man. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me." Jesus knew his relationship with the Father. He knew where he stood with his Heavenly Father. And what he said was truth, and he could not speak anything but the truth. But for them, it did not make any sense. They could not understand it. They could not comprehend. It says, "It is written in your law, the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself. The Father that sent me beareth witness of me." And then said they to him, "Where is thy Father?" And Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would know my Father." Jesus could not get this across to them. These words spake Jesus in the treasures he taught in the temple. No man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. But I believe they were becoming very provoked at him, and they were very distressed over what he was teaching. And said Jesus again unto them, "I go my way. Ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." And then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come." And he said unto them, "Ye are from above, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not on me, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Do we see here the seriousness of not believing that Jesus is the Son of God? How many people in the world do not believe in Jesus? How many people in this community, right next door to you, do not believe in Jesus as the Son of God? They shall die in their sins. It says, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. I think that's a challenge to me, to reach out and let the gospel of Jesus radiate out into this community. Because there's many people out there dying. We see it in the newspapers every day. I don't know how many of them are believers, but I'm sure there are many unbelievers that are dying every day. People that do not know the Lord. And what are we doing to reach them? Are we doing what we can? Are we doing what we should? Are we doing what we are called to do? It is our calling, it's our responsibility to reach out and to preach the gospel, to let the light of the gospel shine forth from our lives, that many would be saved before it's too late, that they would believe on Jesus, that He is the Son of God. Then said they unto him, "Who art thou?" And Jesus said unto them, "Even the same that I said to you in the beginning." They just can't get over it and said, "Who are you?" He said, "I already told you. Because I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard. He understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. When I am lifted up, and I believe that's whenever he was crucified and resurrected, he says, Then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. And then he said, And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many did believe on him. So we see that there were those that believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's an awesome verse there to me. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Continuing in the word of God. This is what a true disciple is. One who continues in the word and following him. And it says, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We hear a lot about being free. Let's talk about that a little. What does it mean to be free? First of all, what are we free from? Does anyone care to share? When it says the truth will make you free. Free from the burden of sin. Amen. Free from the bondage of sin. Someone else? Free from self. Self is what drags us down, isn't it? Amen. Free to serve the Lord. Amen. It's not all negative, is it? There's some positive things. Jeremy. Free from the power of temptation. We have free to walk with God. Mark. Free from condemnation and guilt. Hallelujah. Anymore. I believe we can be free to be what God wants us to be. And free to do the work that God wants us to do. I believe if we walk in the truth and we walk in the light and that freedom, it frees us from condemnation, from sin. It frees us from the bondage of legalism. It frees us from guilt and condemnation. That's the life that we all want. Freedom to walk with God in the light with the glory of God shining on our life. That's what we all want, and that's what God wants us to have. Freedom from the bondage of the world. We're no longer we're free from the passions of the world. We no longer want to be walking in the flesh and serving sin. That's powerful. That's where God wants us to be. When I think of this, I often think of I think of the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 15. I always think of the free servant, the bond servant, and the free servant. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Let's see, it's chapter 15, verse 12. Okay, it says, "And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve thee for 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor and out of thy winepress, and that withal and that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, that thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing, do this day. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee, and thy house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise." This is the kind of freedom that I think serving the Lord. When we serve the Lord because we love the Lord, and we love it in His house, and we love doing His service, and we don't ever want to go away from Him. We're free, but we don't want to go away from Him. We want to walk with Him. We want to stay close to Him. We want to serve Him. This is true freedom. A free servant, a servant. We want to serve the Lord. Not because we have to, but because we love to. This is the freedom that I see in serving God. True freedom in Christ. It is beautiful. I have a statement here that I would like to read in relation to this. This comes from Neil Anderson's, what he calls, Bondage to Freedom seminar type book that he has. It's called The Overcomer's Covenant in Christ, which has to do with being free in Christ. And I'd like to read that this time. There's ten points here. It says, "I place all my trust and confidence in the Lord. I put no confidence in the flesh. I declare myself to be dependent upon God. I know I cannot save myself, nor set myself free by my own efforts and resources. I know that all temptation is an attempt to get me to live my life independent from God. But God has provided a way of escape from sin. I consciously and deliberately choose to submit to God and resist the devil by denying myself, taking up my cross daily and following Jesus. I know my soul was never designed by God to function as master. I know that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, stubbornness as the iniquity of an idolatry. I choose to humble myself before the mighty hand of God in order that He may exalt me at the proper time. I know that God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble. I declare the truth that I am dead to sin, free from it, and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Since I have died with Christ and was raised with Him, I know that the law and all my best efforts are unable to impart life, and that Jesus came to give me life. I gladly embrace the truth that I am now a child of God who is unconditionally loved and accepted. I reject the lie that I have to perform to be accepted. I also reject my fallen and natural identity, which was derived from the world. I know that this is not what I do that determines who I am, but it's who I am that determines what I do. Think about that a little bit. It's not what I do that determines who I am, but who I am determines what I do. I declare sin shall no longer be master over me because I'm not under the law, but under grace. And there's no more guilt or condemnation because I'm spiritually alive in Christ. I'm a servant of the new covenant and not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. I renounce every unrighteous use of my body. I commit myself to no longer be conformed to this world, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. I choose to believe the truth and walk in it regardless of my feelings or circumstances. I know that before I came to Christ, my mind was programmed according to this world. I used my body as an instrument of unrighteousness, thereby allowing sin to reign in my mortal body. I commit myself to take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I choose to think upon that which is true, honorable, right, pure, and lovely. I know that the Holy Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will fall away from their faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines and teachings of demons. I commit myself to God's great goal for my life, to conform to His image. I know I will face many trials, but God has given me the victory, and I am not a victim, but an overcomer in Christ. The grace of God will enable me to triumph over every trial, resulting in proven character. I choose to adopt the attitude of Christ, which is to know nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, I will regard others as more important than myself, and not merely look for my personal interests, but for the interests of others. I just thought that fits so well with the commitment to follow Christ and experience true freedom in Christ, that there's nothing that we can do in ourselves, but fully lean on Jesus Christ who gives life. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? They could not understand anything that he was saying, some of them. He answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Praise the Lord. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. There's where it says, you do, the one statement I made about, we do what we do because of who we are. And that's what he's saying here. You are doing what you see of your father. I speak what I see of my father, you speak what you see of your father. That's what makes the difference. Who is your father? Then answered and said unto him, Jesus is our father. Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If ye be Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? And Jesus said, I have not a devil. I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I speak not mine own glory. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Wow, that's an awesome statement there. If we keep the sayings of God, if we walk with Jesus, we shall never see death. Then Jesus said unto them, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham was dead, the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, I honor as nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Ye that have not known him, but ye have not Yet ye have not known him, but I know him, and if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and I keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Oh boy, that one really upset him. Then said the Jews, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast seen Abraham? Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That was too much for them. That was more than they could take. Then they took up stones and started throwing stones at him. They had no concept of what Jesus was trying to tell them. And I don't know if I'd have been any different or not if I was back there. Maybe not. I might have been just like them. I don't know. But Jesus is bringing out a beautiful message here in this chapter. And I'm glad that Jesus is the Son of God today. And that He did come to bring light into the world. And He came to bring freedom from sin and bondage. And that He came to let us to give us grace and to fill us with His presence, that we can serve Him and that we can walk with Him in love and be a blessing in His kingdom. And that's my desire this morning, that each one of us would follow Him all the days of our life, that He would be glorified and that we could experience that true freedom in Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not free, you can be. Let the glorious gospel of Jesus shine into your heart today. Brother James.